The voice of a gifted spiritual teacher carries authenticity, inspiration, and insight, all of which are transmitted in an instant. My name is Tammy Simon, and this is Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True. In this excerpt from When Food is Food and Love is Love, best-selling author and teacher Jeanine Roth explores our conflicted relationship with food and how to separate our desire for food from our desire for love.
I'm Jeanine Roth. I happen to be an expert in emotional eating. I've gotten my PhD in emotional eating. I've also gotten my PhD in healing emotional eating. What I've learned in the 27 years that I've been teaching this work is that everyone has an issue with food. Everyone. Especially in our Western world, we who have enough food have a relationship with food that's often conflicted. I think the difference between those of us who are willing to work with our relationship with food and those of us who aren't is the degree of suffering that the relationship with food causes. Because food is something that we need to have every single day, because we need it to live, because unlike drugs or alcohol or cigarettes, food has to be in our lives. We have to develop some kind of relationship with it. For many of us, food is love. Food is our hugs and our kisses. Food doesn't talk back. Food doesn't say no. Food is always available. Who do you know in your life that's like that? Who do you know that never says no, that's always there, and that doesn't have a mind of its own and talks back to you? Nobody. Food is it. We have a relationship with food because at the very beginning of our lives, food was love. Food was the way we knew we were loved. Because of that, because so many of us, for some reason or another, did not feel loved. And I'd like to take a detour for a second and say that although it's absolutely possible to be born to 100% enlightened parents, probably none of us were. All of our parents had their conflicts, their patterns, their issues, and their parents had the same. And because we were born into imperfect families in an imperfect world, because we didn't always know that we were 100% loved, cherished, welcome, adored, acknowledged, seen, honored, respected, we turned to food. We turned to food to be there for us. So for many of us, food is love. What we're going to do is separate food and love so that food can become food and love can become love. We're going to look at what's at the root of these beliefs and these issues and these conflicts with food so that we can make the separation and so that food can become, in fact, a source of delight, of thrill, of pleasure, of joy, and that love can become the same. I'm going to talk to you about what I've learned in the almost 3 decades that I've been teaching this and, of course, working with myself about this, because I learned about all of this through being a compulsive eater myself. I teach workshops and I teach retreats. And in those years, with the tens of thousands of people that I've worked with, I've learned certain principles, certain guidelines, and certain practices. I'm going to teach you the principles. I'm going to teach you the path of working with emotional eating. And most importantly, or as importantly, I'm going to teach you the practices, how to put all that you learn into use in your day-to-day life. What I want to tell you is that this is a path. This is a gradual unfolding. It's a gradual awakening. Transformation of your relationship with food is absolutely possible. I do not have one doubt, not one, that this relationship with food can become a source of pleasure and joy and ease in your life. I do not have any doubts that you can do this. What I know is that it takes patience. What I know is that it takes time, that it takes love, that it takes a willingness to be kind to yourself, tender with yourself, curiosity about why you're doing what you're doing. St. Francis de Sales said, "What we need is a cup of knowledge, a barrel of love, and an ocean of patience." What I would recommend for all of us is that we have that knowledge, we have that love, and that we have that patience. With that patience, if you stay with this, your relationship with food will unfold. It will open. The thing that you consider to be the worst mistake, your greatest source of suffering, can become itself your greatest illuminator, can become the door to your healing. And so it shall. Now we're going to talk about the principles of breaking free from emotional eating. They are the principles upon which all the work is based. They are what I see and believe to be true in the most fundamental sense about our relationship to food, how it develops, why we need to work with it, what we need to know. The principles that I'm about to tell you are based on my understanding, which is based on my experience, that food and the relationship with food has meaning and makes sense in our lives. The first principle is that there are always exquisitely good reasons why we turn to food when we weren't hungry. There are always exquisitely good reasons why we turn to food when we weren't hungry. When we first started using food, it was because we didn't know what else to do. It was because food was our comfort. It's because food was our hugs. It was our kisses. It was our survival. I want to tell you a story of someone who worked with me who told me that when she was 11 years old, her mother dropped her off at her grandmother's house. She told her that she'd be back for her the next day. Her mother didn't return for many years. So she left her at her grandmother's house, saying she was going to be back and didn't come back for years. During that time, she was sexually abused by her grandfather pretty continually. And what she did was she kept bags and boxes and cans of food underneath her bed. It became her safety. It became her security. It became her survival. She couldn't imagine, even years and years and years later, giving that up. She was still overeating, hiding food, sneaking food, keeping bags of it under her bed. To her, It was so connected. The whole act of emotional eating was so connected with comfort, with love, with safety, that giving it up, even as an adult, felt like giving up her comfort, felt like giving up her safety. She didn't want to. She was scared. And what we needed to work with was the fact that there were really good reasons she had turned to food. Really good reasons. What we believe when we're adults is that there are no good reasons. We lack willpower. We just need to stop. That doesn't work. It doesn't work to just stop doing what you're doing unless you start understanding how you're using what you're doing, unless there's understanding there.
You've been listening to Voices of Wisdom from Sounds True, sponsored by Bread for the Journey. For more wisdom for the inner life, please visit www.soundstrue.com.